Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, we'll be going through Matthew chapter 19, verse 27, ending in chapter 20, verse 16. Salvation, grace, and eternal life are not based on merit. They are based on God's unmerited favor on our lives. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 19, verse 27.
And they agree on a wage, a denarii, a penny. We'll use $100 to make it more relatable in today's culture. You're going to get $100 for a day's worth of work. Fair, good, we'll shake on it, off to work they go. Now around 9 o'clock, he says, we need more workers. The rains are coming, the heat is intense. We can't just use the guys we have here. There's an intensity that picks up. We've got to get even more people. So he goes to the markets. It's like those of you who come from different countries, your family did, you might have heard stories. I know for me, my grandparents came here from Italy. You know, there was this, we got to change our name so that we can get work. So Tommaso's not my real last name. David's not my real first name. I'm not really a pastor. No, I'm just kidding. I'm opening a window because I want you guys to breathe. Come back. So here's what happens. They change your last name. Some of my family's Tommaso. Some's Tomasini, Thomas. There's all this. There's versions of our real last name. Because everybody wanted, they come to Ellis Island, they want to get work, they want to get employed, they need to provide for their families. Picture that. Picture the Great Depression as you're hearing this illustration. It would have made sense to the listeners then. The kingdom of heaven is like when the owner of the vineyard goes and sends and employs people at 6 a.m. They're eager and ready to work. Then he goes back at 9 a.m. There are still people there waiting to work. Then he goes back at noon. There are still people there waiting to work. Then again at 3 o'clock and finally at 5 o'clock when there's only 1 hour left. Now, all of those people don't get a wage given to them. They just are so desperate to work, they'll work for anything. They need provision. They haven't worked up to this point, not because they're lazy, but because of the lack of opportunity. Now there's an opportunity for them to come and work. And they're just trusting at this point that whatever the owner of the vineyard gives to them will be right and good. They just need to bring something home to put food on the table for their families. In this culture, you got paid at the end of the day. Not once a week, not every other week or whatever it would be, but the end of every day. They want to go home with something. So they're at the docks, they're at the marketplace, and they're waiting. Now here's where it gets crazy. You read it with me, so maybe you caught it. At the end of the day, when pay goes out, Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of heaven is like. The guys who are last to be employed get paid first. Now, if you're there all day, you're going to struggle with that, right? If I'm working out in a field all day long, and I move through the heat of the day, and I'm soaking sweat, my face is beet red, I'm over here chugging Gatorades and waters, and I'm expecting to get my denarii, I'm waiting for that. And then the guy who came to work with an hour left to work gets called in the boss's office first, my head's going to perk up and think, what in the world is happening? Is anyone else that way? Wouldn't it be a little peculiar and strange to you? I mean, that's the kingdom of heaven. The way up is down. You understand? It's backwards. It's different. Well, we're backwards. It's upwards. It's right way. Jesus says, this is what it's like. The guys who went to the field last are the first to come in. But here's the catcher. Guess what they get paid? It's an open book test. You guys just read it with me. A denarii. A penny. $100. And as they get their pay and they begin to walk out of the boss's office, they're probably elated, jumping for joy, as their boss was gracious with them. But as the men who had been working longer, as he works his way backwards, 5 p.m., 3 p.m., noon, 9, as the guys who had been out there since 6 a.m. come in, they're supposing, it tells us, that we got to be getting more. These guys are not only getting paid first, but they're walking out with what the boss agreed for us to get. And they go in there, and to their dismay, the boss hands them a denarii. The same day's wage as what the guys who work for an hour, who barely have even worked up a sweat, who aren't even thirsty yet because most of the work had been done and the heat of the day had passed, they get the same exact amount. Jesus said, that's what the kingdom of heaven is like. What does this mean? What is Jesus saying? What are we supposed to pull from this? Well, I think there are several things. I want to say to you this. I think that this parable is rich and deep and wide. I think we see in this parable the sovereignty of God, the grace of God. I think we see in this parable the compassion of God, the mercy of God, the goodness of God. I think we see in this chapter the empathy of God, the sympathy of God, the pity of God. I think we see so much in this chapter about God. But what I want to say to you is this. The first thing that I think we see here to Paul is that they are equally paid, and I think that speaks of salvation. I don't think that this parable is a perfect illustration of salvation or of grace, because there's earning and rewards being done here, and grace and salvation speak of neither. Salvation is a free gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Grace is unmerited favor. It's not getting more than you deserve or less than you deserve. It's getting aside from what you deserve. It's based on him. It has nothing to do with you and I. So I don't think it's a perfect illustration, but nonetheless, it does its job. And I think as far as salvation goes, because Jesus said the principle at the end of chapter 19 is both rewards and salvation, eternal life. I think the salvation part is this. Everybody who believes in the name of Jesus, regardless of what they do with their lives, will inherit the same eternal life. So you who have been raised in the Calvary Kids and you're still walking with Jesus and the thief on the cross and everybody in between, if you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, and saved is saved. And I think sometimes we think, well, I'm a Christian longer, so I've earned favor. I've earned status with God. I'm a little bit higher regarded. There's going to be something more to my salvation. No, you're wrong. There's nothing more to your salvation. We are all saved by grace. So there is that there, I believe. There is that equality that Jesus is speaking to Peter about, that we have to understand that as followers of Christ, we are never above anybody. Whether you've been saved since you were little or you're just getting saved today, you're going to get saved in the weeks and months to come. It's the same salvation. And it's a powerful salvation. And how the Lord wants to reward us now, in addition to that salvation, is not equal. It's predicated on our faithfulness with what we do, what he gives to us. Did you catch that? What's not being shown to you here, as an example, is how long you're faithful in the sense of, you know, I've been faithful longer than this guy's been faithful, and there's a comparison. It's how long I've been faithful with what he's given me to be faithful with. That's what we need to understand, because we are so prone to sizing ourselves up. We are so prone to comparing ourselves and sort of estimating how well we're doing with how others are doing. Listen, Jesus rewards according to our faithfulness with what he gives to us, what he fills our hands with. That's what we're to be concerned with. Whether it was from 6 a.m. or 5 p.m., he gives his gifts lavishly as he sees fit. We're to keep our focus on what he's put in our hands, not what he's put in other people's hands. Now, that's a real word for some of you. For some of you that have been in the vineyard, in the fields, sweating, toiling, working, going all for God for years and years and years, you need to be encouraged this morning that God is pleased with you, God is blessed by you, and that the laboring that he has given to you has been the keeping in your life. Please catch that this morning. The laboring has been his keeping. Him having you labor for all of these years when other people just jump in later in life if they get to do whatever they want to do, because we can feel that way sometimes. That's been his keeping. Sometimes we can look around, we as in those who've been raised in the faith, those who have been busting our humps for the glory of God, we can look around to other people who get in the game way later in life and see them be blessed equally to us or even more than us in our estimation. On this side of eternity, we don't even see the rewards on that side. And we can think, this is so unfair. This is crazy. They get saved at 5 p.m. They get saved 6 months ago. They're already married. They already have babies coming. They're already an elder in the church. I went to seminary school. I went to Bible college, and I don't even get to teach a class. I mean, this is crazy. They are not qualified. I am qualified. And there can be all of that that goes on within us. But that's not our prerogative. We don't have any supposing that is really worth bringing to the table. That's between Jesus and the person that he rewards. We just need to look at it and say this. Okay, God called me early in my life. God allowed me to go through the heat of this church's transition, go through the fire of what this church has gone through. Hey, maybe others didn't do it, and they're just jumping in the glory days and the days of Jubilee, but the Lord had me here to keep me, because if I wasn't here serving him the way that I've been, I might have been dead out there. I might have been so reckless with my life that I would have killed myself or somebody else, or I'd be in jail, or I'd prohibit his hands from using my life the way that he has deemed fit. Are you with me? See, because sometimes I can look at this thing and I can think, this is crazy. I was dedicated as a child by my father. I grew up in the children's church. I strayed a little in my teenage years, but I was back by 17. I didn't sow many wild oats. I was married by the time I was 19. Had children by the time I was 21. Took this church over at 25. I've not done a lot of crazy wild things. And sometimes I look at other people, I'm just being honest, and I can say, man, their story's pretty rad. I mean, it's pretty amazing. Rad. Something just happened. That was so weird. I've never said rad. Sometimes I look at other people and they don't ever say rad. You know, they just have this life, and I could think, man, Lord, you preserve them. They went through crazy stories and they never died. They never did anything so catastrophic that they can't still be used. And they've got to do all of these different things and experience life all of these different ways. And you still call them, so they're equally saved. They're going to have the same salvation I have. And you even use them, sometimes greater than you're using me. And I've been faithful to you all these years. Can't you feel that way sometimes? The guy who's on heroin for 30 years gets saved and God uses him as an evangelist all around the world when you've not even touched pot once in your life and God's not really using you in your estimation. And it makes sense to you that he should use you more so than that person because of all the time that you put in. But God says, no, your laboring has been my keeping. And I've still filled your hands. See, that's the part you got to catch. He still filled those guys' hands that have been working since 6 a.m. He held true to his word. He will be a debtor to no man. He is just. Sometimes he doesn't give us what we think he should give us, but he will always give us what's due to us. He will always give us what he deems is due to us, what is fit for us to have. And he still put a denarii in that man's hand, those men's hands that have been working since 6 a.m. And if their head was down, their mouths would have been closed. If their heads were down, Jesus said, you are not fit to put your hands in the plow for my kingdom unless you keep your head straight, keep your hands in the plow and keep grinding. You look to the left, you look to the right, you're going to get yourself in trouble. These guys look to the left and they look to the right, just like Peter did in the very beginning, wondering how they're going to size up compared to the rich young ruler. You get yourself in trouble when you start peeking in other people's business. You get yourself in trouble when you obsess over, I can't believe he's married. I can't believe he's got that type of ministry. I can't believe God's using it that way. But what is God doing with you? And sometimes you just got to look down in your hands and say, God, you filled my hands. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? The boss puts the denarii in his hands. He's got money in his hands. And as the money's in his hands, he's murmuring with his mouth. I was so convicted by this. Just in my own life, Lord, how much murmuring do I do? Murmuring, it's such an ugly word, isn't it? Murmur, it's so murmury, it's terrible. It's so Rochesterian, it's so sinusy and congested, and it's an ugly word. And you know what? It's even uglier in people's ears. And I think, how many times, God, am I guilty of murmuring to you? And if I just had my head down, I look at what you filled my hands with, my life with, I wouldn't be so preoccupied on the grace that's been extended to these. That's crazy, because we love grace when it's in our own lives. We just don't always do so well with it when it's in other people's lives. Jesus said, I am not bound by your supposings. I've given you what is right for you to have. I do not owe you an explanation or a consultation where we should talk about what this other person should get. Your hands are full. Now go your way and serve me. And for every single one of us here this morning, that be the case. He calls us unto salvation at different times in our lives. If it's at 6 a.m. when you were little, and he's called you to walk with him and to follow him, then you do that. And you do that with all of your heart, regardless of what anyone else is doing. And who cares if you're a prude? Who cares if you're ignorant? Who cares if you never sowed your wild oats? Obviously, the oats aren't that good because the people who have end up here. You know what I'm saying? Like, so whatever wild oats are out there that everybody's sowing, they can't be that great. Because at the end of everybody's lives, you want to know what they want to talk about? Where they're going when they take their last breath. I've never been to a bedside, and I go to the bedsides of people's deathbeds all of the time. I've never been there, and I've never heard somebody say, I just wish I did more of this sin. It's always, what happens when I die? How does this go after I take my last breath? There's that concern with what you've been doing since 6 a.m. So stay the course, keep grinding, don't let the devil rip you off with that. But here's the glory and grace of this whole thing. Jesus doesn't stop pursuing. He keeps going to the dock. He keeps going to the marketplace. He doesn't give up on people because they don't come to him as little children at VBS. He keeps knocking on the door at their heart. If the day is a representation of a human's life, he comes at 9 a.m. He comes at noon. He comes at 3 p.m. He comes in the 11th hour, and he still pursues, and he still seeks, and he still invites those who've been spitting in his face all of those years to come and follow him, to come and partake, and he treats you equally. Think about the thief on the cross. I'll be done in 5 minutes, but think about the thief on the cross. Think about that man as he is dying there on that tree. Moments before his confession, he's ridiculing. Moments before his salvation, he's slandering the Son of God, God himself, and he's making mockery of him. And something changes, and he gives his heart to Jesus, so much so that Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the 11th hour, isn't it? I mean, it's past the 11th hour. It's into the 11th hour when this whole thing happens. But Jesus will even take a person's life, for those of you who are on the other side of the spectrum, for those of you who are looking at it opposite of me and you're saying, you're lucky you got called when you were young. I didn't get raised in the faith. I didn't have a dad. I didn't even have a dad, let alone a pastor as a dad. I don't even know my father. I don't even see my father. I grew up in this area where I was taught these things. I never even knew about grace in Jesus. It was all religion and works. Don't do this, do that. I didn't know nothing about that. I wish I knew. My years in life have been wasted. How can God use me now? How can God use you now? I'm going to tell you how God can use you now. I'm still preaching about the thief on the cross 2,000 years later. As an example to you, that's the fruit of his confession. I'm still preaching to you about this man who did nothing apart from that for Jesus Christ. How many souls have been saved on death row because of the preaching of the thief on the cross? How many souls have been saved when they're about to be electrocuted, they're about to be decapitated, they're about to be killed for the confession of Jesus Christ? They are saved, and there's this story that is told about this man that was on a cross in his dying breath that confessed Jesus, he was saved. Think about the fruit of that man's labor. Still going. And he will never stop pursuing. And he will never stop knocking. And I think the reason why these two things are conjoined is because when your salvation takes place, it's only natural that your saving faith begins to work. You're not saved by works, but when you really get saved, works begin to flow from your life. And their service to Jesus. And Jesus says to you, whether it's the little girls I just dedicated or you're 90 years old today, it's never too late. He calls people of all different skin colors, of all different resumes, of all different backgrounds. He calls them to the service of his kingdom. But as much as the grace of God is extended, and that's the only way any of us get in the game, we've got to allow him. We've got to allow him to use us. These guys at the dock, at the marketplace, when the owner of the vineyard sent for them to come work at 5 o'clock, they could have said, this is ridiculous. They could have reasoned away the invitation. They could have said, wait a minute, we've been here all day, not because we're lazy, but because we didn't have opportunity. We've been here all day, and now you want us? Or you're not even going to tell us how much the pay is going to be? How do we know what you're really going to pay us? And there can be that whole reasoning that could prohibit them from the work and the blessing that the owner of the vineyard is waiting to give. There's the onus of man's free will that needs to be exercised. That's demonstrated here. You have to respond to the grace of God. It's your ability to get to what he's calling you to get to, but you got to get to it. If they just stayed there and said, we're not coming. It's almost dinner time now. It's an hour left. What are you going to pay us? A fraction of a denarii? What are we going to do with that? You're insulting us. They could have done that, and they would never been blessed. You can do that here today, too. Daniel and the team, they're going to close us in a song, and you can leave here and you say, it's too late. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. I am who I am. I am what I am. I wish I heard about this when I was a young guy or a young girl, but I didn't, and I've done these things all my life, and this is the way I live, and no one's going to change that now. And you can come up with whatever you want to come up with, and all you're doing is prohibiting God from blessing you. All you're doing is handcuffing his hands from being able to fill your hands, from being able to fill your hands and your life with blessings. He's not trying to take you from anything without taking you onto something. He's not trying to give you a bunch of rules and regulations that you got to keep so that he can make your life miserable. He wants to bless you beyond your wildest dreams, but you've got to allow him to. He's not going to force himself on you. And then he does this crazy thing where the last in this world become the first in his kingdom. He does this crazy thing where he doesn't just reach out to the uttermost, but he reaches out to the guttermost. And he brings in the most dirty, wretched, defiled human beings. And he makes something precious out of them. A trophy of grace. And he puts them on display. And it's no one's prerogative. It doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter if the person sitting next to you thinks you deserve it. It's not their business. He is God and he's free to do what he wants to do. The heavens and heavens of heavens can't contain him. Your prerogative certainly can't. And he takes the person that we say, not much can be had. There's only an hour left of their life. I mean, what's he going to do there? And he lifts them up for his glory. Now, I'm going to tell you this as I close, and I'm going to pray. Regardless of how old you are, regardless of when you've been called, and you've all been called, you need to respond. But regardless of any of that, I'm going to tell you this. It is the 11th hour for human history. So even if you say, well, I'm still at 9 a.m., I'm still in my 20s, I'm still in my 30s, I'm strong, I'm healthy, I'm determined, I'm ambitious, I've got my business, I've got my job, I've got my family, I'm in school. Even if that be the case, listen to me, please. Regardless of what hour you're personally in, human history is clearly and obviously in the 11th hour on God's timeline. And regardless of how you feel or what you think about end times and how crazy it seems to you, I'm telling you that the Bible says that Jesus is coming soon. Time is running out. It's like one of those hourglasses. It's running out. It's running out rapidly and quickly. This life is soon going to pass. And it's only what you do for Jesus that's going to last. You're going to stand before him. Right down the road from our church, a mother decapitating, it seems, her son. We are living in perilous days. Good is evil is good. The hardness of man's heart, that should stir you to say, okay, it is time for me to go to the master's vineyard and get busy about my father's business. Jesus is coming soon.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let's get it right.